The reading today is from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and you can find it on page 1182 in the Church Bibles. So that's Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant.
Thanks, Rach and David, before that. Hello, everyone. My name's Gareth. I'm one of the ministers here at Christchurch. And we're in that passage in Colossians. We're just going to put up the code for the Microsoft Translator app, if you'd like to use that. It's happening in real time. You can see it being typed in. Do open that up, and that will give you a live translation of what's being said into a language of your choice in text. And hopefully that's useful to you. Great. We're in the book of Colossians. I want you to imagine that you were sick. You were seriously ill, in fact, with something that was life-limiting. It was a real problem. And you had regular checkups with the GP. And then one day the GP said, good news, there's a new treatment that's available, and actually it cures you. All you need to do is take this tablet every day for the next month. Wow, you say. I'm cured. And she says, yes, if you keep taking this tablet every day for a month, you'll be cured. If. Why does she say if? Does she want you to think, oh no, it's all gone wrong, if I keep going? No, what she wants you to know is you need to keep going. Keep taking the tablet. That's what it's dependent on. You need to keep on. Stick with the program. Here it is. Stick with it. And we have the same if in verse 23 of chapter 1 of Colossians. Paul has listed lots of things, and then he says, if you continue in your faith. Now, maybe some of us, for our personality type, when we hear that read, think, oh no, I'm never going to do it, am I? That's it, give up. But it's not that kind of if here. It's a stick with the program, won't you? It's really good. And of course, if you haven't got with the program yet, get on board. Start taking it. What Paul's giving us this morning is not a medicine that's going to temporarily extend your life a bit, good as though that might be. What he is telling you, what God is telling you this morning, is about one person who will utterly transform you and give you eternal life. That is what God is going to tell us about this morning. God's word to us today is this: come to Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. And if you have, stick with Jesus. Stick with him. And the way God is going to help us do that, this was just by showing us who Jesus is. Let's look at the structure of the passage. This is verses 15 through to 23, which we just had read. In the passage, Paul rattles through stuff about Jesus. Boom, 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 boom. Maybe you felt that as it was read. So we're going to have it. It's a bit like a social media bio. If you're on social media, people have their name and then just a few things about them that they think are most important. So we're going to have that kind of format. Excuse me. So we're going to see Jesus Christ at creation, as it were, as he's always been, verses 15 to 17. And then we're going to see Jesus Christ relating to the church. That's from verses 18 to 20. So So we're going to see those kind of two social media bios, as if you like, of Jesus. And then having done those two, we'll then think much more briefly about us before and us now. Us before is verse 21, going our own way, and verse 22 is us now, going Jesus' way. Now, word of warning, this is dense, okay? It's going to stretch us just in terms of thinking. And if you're a bit sleepy, I don't know what you can do, like kind of pinch yourself or whatever, or just nudge your neighbor or ask them to nudge you at the right moment. But it's going to be worth it. And we're going to keep going. We're going to keep going because Paul just keeps going. So we're going to do the same thing this morning. And I'm going to try and move as quickly as possible whilst also noticing things along the way. All right. First section then, Jesus Christ at creation. This is verses 15 to 17. What does Paul tell us about Jesus? The Son is the image of the invisible God. We learn straight away that Jesus shows us what God is like. Jesus shows us what we can't see. God, who is spirit, and his character. So if you want to know what God is like, don't look inside. Look to Jesus. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. That's a massive statement. Jesus shows us God. And Paul just keeps going. He's the image of the invisible God. What else is he? The firstborn over all creation. All right, let me define all creation first. The whole universe. Okay, stuff or matter, time and space. Jesus is the firstborn over that. Everything that science can measure, everything that science can engage with, that's all creation. All right, but he's the firstborn over that. All right, so you've got time, space, matter. And we might be thinking, what else is there? Jesus is firstborn over that. Firstborn. All right, the word firstborn, it's a technical term. It doesn't. It's not what it literally sounds like. It doesn't say Jesus is the first one who was physically born. That's not what it's saying. There's a psalm in verse 89, Psalm 89, which is really helpful. I couldn't quite get the animations to work, so it may get a bit crowded. Oh, no, it worked. Brilliant. Psalm 89, this is verse 20 and verse 27. God is talking about David, who's a regular bloke. Like, he's the king of Israel, but he's a regular bloke. And God says this, I have found David my servant, and I will appoint him to be my firstborn. And then God tells us what that means. The most exalted of the kings of the earth. David's a normal bloke. He was appointed the firstborn. He wasn't born first. God says, you're the firstborn. Capital F. You are given this job. And what that job means is you're in charge. You rule. It's about position and authority, not about biology. Do you get that? Position and authority. It's linked to the idea of sonship. But we must see, Jesus was not created. That is not what Paul's saying. He wasn't born first. He is the most exalted of all the kings. At Christmas, maybe you sang the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. And it has as a lyric, begotten, not created. He's not created. He was not made. Jesus is not part of the universe. He is the firstborn, begotten, eternally begotten, before time. Jesus is the uncreated Son of God, and therefore the ruler. And God appointed Jesus to be this ruler from forever. The firstborn over all creation. Difficult, isn't it? And we're going to keep going. What does Paul say? All things are created through him and for him. All things have been created through him and for him. There are quite a few things in my house. If you pick them up on the bottom or somewhere, it has written on it, made in China. Maybe your house is the same. China makes a lot of stuff. It's amazing. If you could pick up China and look at the bottom of that, it would say, made by Jesus. Made by Jesus. See, Jesus made everything. Jesus made all those things we think about, matter, time, and space. Jesus made everything. So we might ask, how did everything come to be? How did it get here? How did I come here? Jesus. That is the answer. It's very simple. Jesus. He made everything. The universe has not always been here. Now, Chris and the team, I imagine, get the question sometimes, what about the Big Bang? All right, we heard about this as kind of scientifically observed or derived theory, like, doesn't that explain where everything came from? The thing is, even the theory of the Big Bang doesn't, whatever you think about that, it doesn't explain everything. It says, we look far back as we can and we think this is what we can see. But the question is, who made it bang? And the honest scientific answer is, don't know. And we know it, don't we? We can't keep going back, there was another bang before that, and then there was a person before that, and there was a bang before. At some point, you've got to say, how did it start? What we are looking for is something that itself doesn't need a start. You're looking for something that is itself always there. It's quite hard to get your head around, isn't it? But you need something that's always there. You need a personal thing that could decide to make everything. Who is that person? The firstborn over all creation, all things created through him. That person is Jesus. The Bible's claim is that first uncaused cause, that personal one, has come into the world. He's made himself known. Jesus. Created through him and for him. Because how did the universe come to be is a big question. But an even more important question is, why? Why are we here? What's the point of it all? Sometimes it looks nice, sometimes it doesn't. Why is it here? We know the answer. Jesus. It's made for him. I once watched a program where one character said to another, the world doesn't revolve around you, Chuck. It revolves around the sun. And it took me years to realize that character, if you change just one vowel, was entirely theologically and cosmologically correct. The world revolves around the sun. S-O-N. It revolves around him. It's for him. The universe is not for us. We get to benefit from it, for sure. But it was made for Jesus. And that changes everything. Why are you here? Why is anything here? Why? Jesus. Paul keeps going. In him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. Jesus is the linchpin of everything. He keeps it going. How does gravity keep going? Who's feeding the coins into the slot? Who keeps the strong nuclear force as the strong nuclear force and the weak nuclear force as the weak nuclear force and all those other things that I don't understand? Jesus. How does he do it? I have no idea. It's above my pay grade. But I do know the significance of it. It means that the last breath you just took, sustained by Jesus. And the next breath that you're really hoping to take, and you're probably about to take right now, Jesus sustained that. He kept you going. Jesus, the eternal one. What have we seen as we just sum up this little section? He's the image of invisible God. He shows us the God that we can't see. He is the firstborn. He's the king over all things that have ever been made. And in fact, all things that have ever been made were made through him and for him. And even now, he is keeping it going. Let me give you 15 seconds of quiet, just a reel, and then we'll move on. Jesus Christ, at creation, the eternal one. Now we move on to verses 18 to 20. Jesus in the church, in human history. What do we see, verse 18? Paul changes focus to being within time, within creation. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. All right, let me just define the church now. The church is all people who are in Christ, who have trusted Jesus forever, whenever that was, wherever that was.
the whole world over and through all of time. So Christchurch Harpenden is that one skin cell, one teensy-weensy bit of this body, the church, capital C. When you talk to someone, which bit do you talk to? You talk to the head, don't you? You talk to the head. Why do you talk to the head? That's the main bit. That's the thinking bit, right? Jesus is the main bit, the main thing of the whole church. All those people, Jesus is the head. Jesus came to establish that church, to lead it. That is Jesus. He is our head if we are Christians. Paul keeps going. What else is Jesus? He is the firstborn from among the dead. Again, that firstborn term. Now, actually, here is a little bit closer to that literal idea, because Jesus is the first born back from the dead, the first resurrected to never die again. Now, Jesus died on a cross, as we see in this passage, just in verse 20. Maybe you're brand new to Christian things, and if you are, there's a lot to go through, right? Don't worry about taking it all in. But Jesus died on a cross in human history, but he didn't stay dead. On Good Friday at Easter, we remember his death. Easter Sunday, we remember that he rose. And he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the one who has resurrected. And Jesus is the one, the firstborn shows you what everybody else is going to be like. Everything else is going to be like. Jesus shows us what eternal life looks like. He is the guarantee that it's going to come to you because it came to him. Firstborn from among the dead. Paul keeps going. What else do we learn about Jesus? All God's fullness dwells in him. And this is an intensifier of the idea of image. We see God. Here Paul says, everything that is true about God is true about Jesus. Everything. Jesus is not just similar to God in a way that a biological child is similar to their parent. Jesus is God. He has the same nature. He has the same nature. Not only human, but God himself. That is a massive claim. If you're new to Christian things, that's a massive claim. But it is a claim that the Bible makes. And we go on. What else did he come to do? He came to reconcile all things to God. Do you see that, verse 20? Through Jesus, God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself. That's God the Father. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now, this doesn't mean that everyone's forgiven, okay? It's not saying that everybody who's ever lived is in the capital C church. But what it is saying is that the gospel is more than just about us, whether things on earth or in heaven. Jesus didn't die for angels, but there is something about what he did that touches all that he has made. That links to verse 16, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, visible and invisible. Colossians shows us that the gospel reaches beyond even salvation for humans. Wonderful though that is. And that makes sense because Jesus is the firstborn over all of creation. So when he gives his life, it affects the whole of creation. It's all for him. He has come to reconcile it. His death has implications for the whole universe. Not just for you and me, but for all things. That's some bio, isn't it? I don't know how yours compares if you're on social media. That's some bio. I actually got bogged down. I was going to have a little icebreaker bit where I gave you some bios and asked you to guess who they were. There were some interesting ones, for sure. There were some good ones out there. There's nothing like this. Nothing like this. Do you know anyone else like that? Jesus Christ. We'll come back to think about some of the implications for this, but we must press on because Paul has a few more things to say, and we'll look at those first. Verse 21, us before, okay? Us before. We're going to be much briefer on these two bits. What do we see? Verse 21, alienated from God. We see that we are, press the button, enemies in our minds, and we are those who behaved evilly. Ooh, that's pretty tough, isn't it? That's also not on your bio, right? But it is true about us, the Bible says. Before Jesus reconciles an individual to the Father, that is true about each of us. Now, we might find that very challenging. And in fact, if you don't find it challenging, you probably don't really know what it's saying yet, yeah? It is offensive. It doesn't just tread on our toes, it stamps on them. It says, hey, you're an enemy of God. But let's think about that. How does that work out? Well, who is the universe for? Who are all things for? Yes. I've been so disheartened if that hadn't come out. All things for Jesus. All things for him. Think about my life. Have I lived all things for Jesus? Have I made every decision for him? Is every behavior for him? No. Even the polite ones are for me, because I want people to like me. We have each lived as if creation, or certainly our neck of creation, is for us. That's the definition of evil. It's going against Jesus, against the purpose that God has given us. And therefore, we're naturally alienated. We're apart from him. We live against the grain of the universe, the flow of the universe. I do want to say, if you find that particularly challenging, please notice that verse 21 doesn't come first in this section. The first thing that Paul wants to press on us, the first thing that God wants you to hear, is about Jesus. Don't start by thinking, am I bad? Start by thinking, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Only then can we move to, well, if it's all about him, what does that mean for me? And that's us before. And now we move on to us now, verse 22. And this us is the Colossian Christians, particularly. So Paul is writing to people who have heard about Jesus and believed in him. So that this us now is true of you if you have trusted in that Christ that we have been thinking about. If you trust Jesus, then this is true of you now. Reconciled by Christ's physical body. What happens when people reconcile? Now, if I've fallen out with someone, what is reconciliation? It's coming back together, isn't it? We were apart, we were alienated, now we come back together. It's beautiful. It's the reverse of becoming an enemy. That is what happened to us. Reconciled by Christ's physical death to friendship with God. And that means we are now holy in God's sight. That means God sees you as good. There's so much in this, but can I tell you, do you feel guilty? Do you feel dirty? If you are in Jesus, you are holy in God's sight. That doesn't mean all the things you do are right, but it does mean God looks at you through Jesus and says, you are holy. God sees us as good. He sees us, if you haven't got that yet, without blemish. Clean. Nothing to be ashamed of in Jesus. And free from accusation. No one can point the finger. You are innocent because of Jesus. Why? Why might that happen? Same answer as before. Because of Jesus. Because of what he has done. All right, so we've seen us before and us now. Us before, we've been against Jesus and therefore we're against God. But Jesus has come, and for anyone who trusts in him, we are brought back, reconciled by his death, holy in God's sight, good, clean, innocent, pure, beautiful. All right, we've covered quite a lot, haven't we? Let's just think it now, as we approach the runway, implications and applications of this. What difference does it make? Firstly, come to Jesus and have hope. Us before is all people. If you have not come to Jesus yet, you are on the left-hand side. That's you. That's what God says. And the implication is obvious. Come over here. The grass is greener. Come over here. And the way you do that, trust. Trust in Jesus, simple faith in him. Wow, Jesus, you're amazing. And I've lived it not your way. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Bring me in. Trusting him. He will do it, not you. He will do it. So ask him. And of course, if you have, if you continue, we want to keep going. Stick with the program. This is what you've already got. Stay with it. Stick with Jesus and you'll have hope. as we go to think more about Jesus, we want to finish thinking about Jesus, don't we? What is our reaction to this? He's standout. Jesus is standalone. He is like no one else. He is the greatest, so great that no one wants to even try and put their bio next to his. Verse 18 says, this happens so that in all things he might have the supremacy. He is supreme. And that is the biggest and best thing you could take from this morning, that Jesus is this. I can't think of a way to summarize it that does it justice. Jesus is all these things. I'm told, I've not been there, but I'm told that when people visit the Grand Canyon, they go quiet. They just go quiet. They are overawed. Who made the Grand Canyon? If what he made inspires awe, how much more so Jesus himself? Now, this is not something to force. Like, oh, I've got to try and be overawed. But let's reflect on these things. Let's pray them in for ourselves and for others. And God tells us, as we saw last week, by the Spirit's help, we will be filled with wisdom and understanding that we would know the will of God, that we would know God himself. And that's where we will be overawed by Jesus. If we've been stretched by this passage, good. It's stretching. It's more than we can manage. Can I just say, just in passing, I'll do this very briefly. There's a clear implication here for other faiths and other religions. Who did it take to reconcile us to God? This guy. Who else could do it? Who else? I want to make a practical application for continuing in the faith. There are a number of things we could do about this, but I want to pick up something I said briefly last week and just to underline it. You've got to keep coming to church. We've got to keep coming and meeting together. Continue is an ongoing thing. I'm so glad you're here today, and I hope you are. Continue. It's not the only way to continue, but it is one of the biggest gifts that Jesus has given his people. To meet with the body and be encouraged as we see God at work in people. Now, it can be difficult to get here or be here. We appreciate that. Social anxiety. Big crowd. Ill health. Cold weather. Hard to park. And there will be times for each of us where it is physically impossible to get here. And that puts us in a different space. But if you can come, please come for your sake as well as for others. Choose, ready to come, ready to grow, ready to hear about Jesus. Now, if there's something that stops you coming, whether it's something about church in general or about this church specifically, please do speak to a friend or speak to me or speak to someone else in the church. Help us to understand, and we're going to try our best to help. Maybe you've got a friend you know who, actually, they're not committed to coming regularly at the moment. Maybe you think, could we help them? What can I talk to them about? How could I pray for them? But that word continue is quite challenging, isn't it? It's not, did I make it here today, good as that might be. Are you planning to come to church next year? You probably, don't know, it's probably not in your diary, is it? I barely plan beyond the end of next week. But got a feeling, are you planning to be at church next year? When we take the medicine in the first week of the four, do we take it thinking, I probably won't bother next week? No, we take it knowing that we're going to keep going, we want to keep going. And so the questions are, what decisions are we making? What habits are we getting into? What precedents are we establishing now that will affect us next year? Maybe us or the people around us. It's good to think, what stops us coming to church now? And why? And how might we be able to help one another with those things? Okay, continuing. But why bother coming to church? What's it for? Like, duty is a helpful thing, and sometimes, like, yeah, I just turn up because I have to. But we want a desire to come. We want to come ready and expectant, as many of us do. How might we desire to come? Well, just thinking about this, when you ask people, how are you? What often do they say? Oh, very busy. Very busy. And they're right? And you feel the same, busy. We're busy with stuff. And actually, the stuff crowds in. There's more bits, and there's more things, and there's situations, and there's people, and busy, busy, busy. The thing is, we're in a busying part of society. Life crowds in, doesn't it? Think of so many things we have on. And the stuff crowds out our vision. You get tunnel vision on the stuff, and if you can just about look, there's more stuff. Like from one messy room to another messy room. But if that's all we see, our heads and our hearts start to drop. Because that's discouraging. I've never met anyone who said, I had a busy week last week, but nailed it. Now I'm good. It chokes our hope. What do we do when we come to church? We look up. We look to Jesus. That is the basic thing we do together. Tell each other, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I need it. I need this. You need this. We all need it. I've had a cough for a few weeks, and people have kind of, sort of in a kind of pleased way, telling me, oh, there's a 100-day cough going around at the moment. Oh, thanks. Now, if you've had something like, I've been coughing, and kind of, I coughed so much that my ribs started aching, so I was kind of hunching, coughing like that, and then my shoulder blade went, and so then I was kind of doing this weird, like, half crab thing every time I coughed. Is that important? No. But it becomes all I'm thinking about, almost. How am I? Oh, that. Life crowds in. Stuff, health. But when I am here with you, I get perspective. When I am here with you, I see more clearly, not less. Who am I? What is this world about? Whose is it? It is Jesus. It is Jesus' creation. We are for him. And that gives me hope. I need to continue in that, to worship God together with you. We need to together hear for his voice as we read the scripture. We need to pray together for God's will to be filled by his spirit. That is what you need. If you want to keep going, you have to know Jesus. You will not manage it on your own, and you don't have to. You don't have to try. So over coffee, don't ask me about my cough. That's not what I need from you. Why not ask me, Gareth, what strikes you about Jesus? Ask the person you meet, the person you're sat next to, what struck you about Jesus today? Because that's what we've been doing this morning, as we do every week. Consider Jesus. Look at him. He is the overwhelmingly glorious creator and sustainer. And he will keep you going all the way to heaven. That is a hope in the head of the church. The firstborn from the dead. The reconciler of all things who has given us eternal hope. That is our Jesus. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.